Hello and welcome to episode 196 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. Our subject today is comfort eating. We're going to start by talking about how do you know if this is even a problem in your life? Is it always a problem if you comfort eat and emotionally eat? How do you know if it's going to be a problem for you or if it's not? And if you decide, yes, this is something I would like to work on, I'm going to give you 6 practical steps to navigate comfort eating. Now, before we jump into the episode, I want to let you know that my Black Friday deal is live already. You're busy, I'm busy. Why wait till Friday? I have started the deal today, right now. You can get my program Fitter by the Day for 50% off. That is just $64.50, which means you can work with me for a full month for $64.50. I have literally never coached anyone for such a low price. If you're not sure what Fitter by the Day is, it is a 4-week health protocol. It's going to help you move your body more, eat more protein, and begin to eat your food mindfully. These are going to be habits that are going to help you lose weight and improve your health. Within all of this, we talk about how to keep promises to yourself. If you're somebody who keeps struggling getting on and off of diets, if you feel like, I always say I'm going to do it, but I don't follow through, this is for you. It is a mindset-based program. I'm going to help you reclaim your confidence by taking daily action toward a healthier life. You can grab it right now. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. When you go there, you're going to want to enter the code BLACKFRIDAY50, all caps, BLACKFRIDAY50. That's how you're going to get it for the price of $64.50. Now, you could buy it now and wait to start on January 1st, or you could buy it now and start right away and hit January 1st, having built up an entire month of momentum, having an entire month where you show up and keep promises to yourself and know it's not going to get in the way of your holiday celebrations. This is absolutely a good fit for this end of year time. The sale is going to be live until next Monday. So don't sleep on this. You're going to get busy over the holidays. Jump in and grab it now. If you're ready, let's go. Hello, friend. I sat down to record this podcast, and right as I did, a truck of some sort, maybe is it a street sweeper? I don't know what it is. He has decided to loiter just across the street from me. I cannot imagine why. Is he taking his lunch break with the truck on? But he's decided to park there. And if you can hear like a humming, it's a truck. I tried to wait him out and he's just not moving. So I'm going to talk really loudly and hope that I think he's moving. Amazing. It would be great if he would just move on along. Hello, friend. I'm excited to talk to you today. We are going to be covering a subject I've definitely talked about in the past, but it's one that it comes up a lot for people. And so I find it worth talking about frequently. I got a question this week in the DMs. I was going to maybe do a post or do an Instagram story, but I really thought we should tackle it here so we can go in a bit deeper. Here's the question. And I'm not going to read her username because it's very particular and I didn't ask her if I could. So she says, I have noticed lately that all I want to do is eat carbs and it's because I'm turning to food for comfort. Can you give some tips on combating this and combating the winter blues? So we're going to address the first part here for the bulk of our chat. We're going to talk about comfort eating. And at the end, I'm going to touch a bit on the winter blues specifically. I do think it is super common for comfort eating and eating for other emotions to ramp up at this time of year. You know, stress about all that there is to do, expectations of what you need to get done at this time of year, being triggered by various family dynamics, whatever those might be. You know, as happy as the holidays can be for many, they can also be a time of deep sadness and loneliness for other people. And so I think comfort eating is a very timely subject. Now, I think it's important to point out that emotional eating is not always problematic. Food is not just fuel. You'll often hear people say food is fuel. And when I was a new trainer many, many years ago, I would say that all the time. And yes, Food is fuel. We literally need it to fuel our bodies, but it is not just fuel. Sometimes food is more about culture, tradition, memories, right? How many experiences do you have where a certain smell can transport you back in time? When I smell my homemade pasta sauce, like, I'm transported to Christmas Eve of many, many years. A lot of Christmas Eves can come to my mind when I smell this particular scent of this particular sauce, right? And so food is not just fuel. Even eating to reduce stress or to soothe oneself at times, that's not even in and of itself necessarily a problem. Sure, we eat cookies at Christmas because it's fun and it's festive. When we eat to soothe ourselves, to reduce our stress, that can be problematic, but it is not necessarily problematic. Here is when you can kind of decide, like, okay, I think this could be a problem for me. First, if it is keeping you from reaching your goals, whether those are aesthetic goals, like I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to fit into my pants, or they're health related goals, like I want to reduce my weight. It's going to help with my cholesterol. It's going to help me be healthier overall if I lose weight, right? So if your emotional eating is keeping you from reaching your goals, then it can be problematic. Also, if your emotional eating is substituting for you actually addressing emotions in a useful way, if it's your only coping mechanism, if it's your main coping mechanism, it can be problematic. If you have a nice full toolbox of strategies to help you process and navigate your emotions, and one of those is food, then it's not so much a problem. If it's your only or most used tools, or if it's getting in the way of you achieving your goals, it's a problem and you can address it. I hope my breathiness here isn't too problematic. I'm still trying to work on getting over this chest cold. And I actually feel pretty good, except when I start talking. And in my line of work, it's a little hard to not talk and continue to work. So I'm going to do the best I can. But if you're like, why is she sounding so strange? It's my cold. And even though it's not a cough, it comes off as this like kind of like breathy funniness. So what can you do if you decide that there is some problem with your emotional eating? It's either keeping you from reaching your goal, or you're like, you know what? That's pretty much my only coping mechanism when I feel sad or when I feel stressed or when I feel lonely. What can you do? We're going to talk today about 6 steps to help address emotional eating. We'll talk about those one at a time. So step number one, we're going to help you differentiate between eating for hunger versus eating for other reasons. It's important to understand what actual true bodily hunger feels like so that you can tune into, am I eating because of my hunger or am I eating for some other reason? If I'm eating for some other reason, then you can follow up and think like, okay, is this a reason I want to be eating? Is there something else I can be doing? But first we want to get clear, what does hunger feel like? And if you're like, I've never actually thought about that. I just like know when I'm hungry. Hunger is an empty, hollow sensation in your belly. Your belly should feel empty. It should feel hollow. You might have some rumbling, kind of grumbling. You won't necessarily, but it is a sensation that you actually feel in your midsection, in your stomach. That's where hunger is felt. It's not felt in your mind. It's not felt in your mouth. You actually have this empty, hollow sensation. Practice noticing this feeling. Notice whether or not it's present before you eat. So when you differentiate between this and eating for other reasons, you can be aware and take some next needed steps. And sometimes, frankly, you're going to both be physically hungry and eating to soothe your emotions. And that is a normal thing. But we do want you to be able to pick apart those two. All right. Step two is notice when you emotionally eat. Look for patterns. Pay attention when you're emotionally eating. What is going on? Is it when you're always tired? Is it when you're overworked, when you're lonely? Is it after you spend time with particular people? Is it in specific places or after you come from specific places, during certain activities or after certain activities? What emotion are you feeling? I want you to get really specific here. You can actually go and look for like a list of emotions on Google. Just Google like emotion list, feelings list. And you can see there's like feelings wheel, emotions wheel. and really get very clear on what emotion you're feeling, don't use something vague like, I feel stressed. It's too general. What was happening when you felt that emotion? So get clear on what the emotion is and then think, okay, what was happening when I felt this, or what was happening right before I felt this? And then another piece of this kind of understanding and looking for patterns is becoming aware of what physically do you do with your body when you feel this particular emotion. Do you cross your arms? Do you bury your head in your hands? Do you sigh deeply? Do you clench your jaw? Do you put your hand over your eyes and rub them? Noticing these patterns, both situational patterns and like what you do with your body physically, can help you over time to be able to pinpoint, oh, wait, I'm being emotional right now, and I'm about to emotionally eat. Now, in the beginning, you're not going to necessarily be able to head it off at the pass, but you'll notice it as you're doing it. You'll notice as you're eating, you'll be like, oh my goodness, it was right after that thing I realized I do. It was, you know, right when I was feeling this way. So we want you to start noticing all of these patterns about people, places, events, what you're doing with your body. Notice these patterns so that over time, you'll be able to recognize them and choose to do something else to navigate uncomfortable emotions besides eat. Now, with all of this, I do want to point out, you should still be allowing yourself to feel your feelings, whatever they are. The goal is not to suppress your feelings. And often that's what we're trying to do with food, right? We're trying to like stuff down that emotion with food. And we're not looking with any of the next steps we talk about, we're not looking at trying to overcome the emotion. We want you to be able to feel your feelings and then help you navigate through those feelings. All right. So step three, at some other time when you are not emotionally eating, like don't do this step when you're actually like downing some ice cream, brainstorm non-food activities that you could use in place of eating to address and process this particular emotion. Create a short list of 3 to 5 alternative behaviors. You want to have a couple behaviors because they're not all going to be applicable at any one time. Pick some that are shorter. You can pick some that are a little bit longer, some that you would do in your home, some that you would do outside of your home. 3 to 5 alternative behaviors. I'm going to list some for you now. Know that this is not a comprehensive list, and you're going to be able to add things that feel better to you. I'm going to get you started by giving you a list of some other ways that you could navigate and process a particular emotion other than using food. Okay, here are some ideas. Listen to music. Go for a walk. Sit outside. Take a nap. Write in your journal. Call a friend. Marco Polo a friend. Cry. Dance, meditate, use controlled breathing practices, pray, lift weights, do yoga, spend time with your pet, walk barefoot in the grass, rock on a rocking chair, swing on a swing, go for a run or a walk, clean, sing, take a shower or a bath, do a craft or some kind of handiwork. So that's just a short list. You know you best. Give some ideas to things that might feel good to you and that are reasonable in your life. Now, as you are choosing and making this short list, I want you to think about a few other things. Number one, what is the feeling that you would like to create? Is it peace? Is it calm? Is it acceptance? Is it harmony? Think about how you would like to feel, because that can inform the type of behavior you choose. And then when you're thinking about what you're going to put on your list, I want you to use these guidelines. It has to be realistic. So do not put walk on the beach if you live 20 minutes away from the beach. It has to be timely. If you can't do it in under 15 minutes, don't put it on the list. Okay, these need to be strategies you can pull out of your toolbox and use realistically and in a timely fashion. Okay, so once you have your shortlist brainstorm, you can move on to step four, which is practice catching yourself emotionally eating. And I don't mean that in any accusatory, like, gotcha kind of way. This should come from a place of curiosity and a place of compassion, not from a place of, here I am. I always do this. Here I go again. It's not that. You're not accusing yourself. You're not catching yourself in some bad way. You're coming from a place of curiosity and compassion. Oh, okay. So I'm noticing I'm not physically hungry and I'm like downing these Oreos. Like, I wonder what's up with that. Here, that's what I'm doing. So catch yourself doing it. Acknowledge the specific behavior, preferably out loud, and name the emotion. Try saying something like, oh, I'm eating cupcakes. I feel alone and left out. I'm eating these cupcakes. I feel alone and left out. I'm worried about what's going to happen at the meeting at the office tomorrow, and I'm eating potato chips. So acknowledge what you're doing. Oh, I'm eating potato chips because I'm worried. Name the specific emotion. So that's step four. It's going to take practice. I want you to really take a minute and take in that word practice. And you hear me say this all the time about a million behaviors on this show. We don't just hear something, get some knowledge, and then immediately be able to implement that flawlessly. Okay. All of the change behavior we talk about here on Fitter, I'm not going to remember the name of my podcast. I almost called it Fitter After 40, on Fitness Simplified. They're all things that take practice. Okay. You're going to do these things in fits and starts. You're going to notice that you're doing some emotional eating. Sometimes you're going to miss it. Other times you're going to be able to name the specific emotion. Sometimes other times you're going to struggle. And over time, you're going to get better and better at all of these things until you can catch yourself before you can do it. You'll actually be able to feel the emotion and be like, oh, this would be a time that I would typically have downed, you know, the mini pretzels and Nutella. Instead, I'm now going to do this behavior. So you're going to get better at this over time. Allow yourself to practice. This is not a time to be judging yourself about like, I should be better at all of these things right away. It's going to take practice. All right. And then step five, create space and time to use the alternative behaviors that you brainstormed. Okay. So at a time when you're not feeling like emotionally eating, you're going to make that list we talked about. You're going to have that literally written down on your notes on your phone app, okay? Go to your notes app on your phone, write down these alternative behaviors. You know, maybe you'll say something like, I'm going to pet my dog, I'm going to Marco Polo my friend, or I'm going to lay on the sofa and close my eyes for a nap. Those are the things. It doesn't have to be a big nap, just like a brain break. Those are the things I'm going to do if I notice myself wanting to emotionally eat. You're going to have that in your back pocket. Then you're going to do what I said, practicing noticing. And when you notice, the question is, what will you do next? What are you going to do next? What you're going to do next is create space and time for yourself to use one of those alternative behaviors that you brainstormed. Okay, we're going to buy you some time here to do this. One thing that really helps is to set up your environment for success by keeping out of your immediate environment food that you habitually emotionally eat. So the foods that are really easy for you to turn to. Now, the reality is when you want to emotionally eat, you will likely pick a lot of different things. Just because you don't have your favorite thing to emotionally eat doesn't mean you won't do it, but it'll make it easier if you keep that really tempting stuff out of the house for the time being, which doesn't mean it's off limits. It just means that they're not going to be on hand for easy access. So you can absolutely go out and buy yourself a Kit Kat bar anytime you want at the grocery store or the gas station, but don't keep a jar of mini Kit Kats on hand that you might be more apt to emotionally eat. Okay. So number one, we're going to set up your environment for success. And then the other thing you're going to do to help create this space and time to use your alternative behaviors is give yourself a bright line of a 20-minute pause when you want to emotionally eat. So let's say you're practicing and you begin to notice like, oh, I want to go eat the mini Kit Kats. Well, you're not going to have those. You're going to something else. I want to go and emotionally eat. I'm going to open the cupboard and literally like pick up granola bars or whatever it is. And I want to eat them right now. Instead of choosing to do that, you're going to give yourself a pause. You're going to tell yourself, I can come back in 20 minutes if I still want to eat that thing and I can eat it. And you're going to be serious here. If you still 20 minutes later, you want to come back and eat that thing, you're going to come back and eat it. But during that 20 minute pause, you're going to put physical space between you and the food. So you're going to put the granola bar box back in the cupboard and shut it. You're going to go to another room. Okay. So you're not going to like utilize that one of your brainstormed activities like Marco Polo, your friend, while holding on to the box of granola bars. Okay. You're going to put them back in the cupboard. You're going to shut the door. You're going to physically move to another space. And then you're going to use one of your brainstormed alternatives. If after 20 minutes you want to eat it, you're going to go for it. Okay. So do you see how you've created time, giving yourself a full 20 minutes, and you've given yourself physical space? You put distance between you and that food. And then you're going to go ahead and you're going to practice your brainstorm alternatives. I want you to really remember, you're not trying to distract yourself from your emotions. Feel your feelings. You're trying to create the feeling you need in a way other than with food. So if you're feeling lonely and you need to feel, you know, love and acceptance, you're not trying to shove that down. You know, you want to go, maybe you go spend time with your pet so you can feel that love. You need to feel heard. So you go and you call your friend. You're trying to still get the feeling you need without the food. So if you need calm, instead of finishing chewing peanut M&Ms, you find that calm by cross-stitching or by doing a few stretches or by listening to music. So remember, I told you to think about what the feeling is you're trying to create. We're going to try and help you create that with these other activities outside of food. We're not going to have you try and be like, I don't need that feeling. Like, feel the feeling that you're feeling. Say like, you know what? I feel really frazzled right now. And acknowledge that you feel frazzled. Acknowledge your need to feel calm and peace. And then think, okay, which of the activities do I have here that's going to help me to feel that way? And work on that. Give yourself the full 20 minutes away from that food to practice that. And then the last step, which is a really important one, is to deal with any ongoing larger matters. The alternative behaviors that we've discussed here today are useful in the short term, and they might be all you need. But sometimes there are larger issues to address, and ignoring them and relying on the alternatives is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Here are a couple of examples. Maybe you have nothing to look forward to but food because you haven't pursued passions or interests or hobbies. Maybe you haven't built a life that you enjoy. Maybe you have unresolved relationship problems. Maybe you don't find your job fulfilling. Maybe you're spread too thin. Hey, these are not issues that you're going to fix by taking 20 minutes to do a few stretches, right? You see that? Those are going to be short-term solutions to help you in the moment, but over the long term, you still need to spend time dealing with these bigger matters. It's really important to not just shove those down. I've worked with many clients who had situations like this. One, it's been many years since I worked with my client. Her name was Jennifer. And wildly successful woman in her mid-40s, lost a bunch of weight, really transformed the shape of her body. And her big struggle as we were working together, well, she had lots of hurdles that she worked through about time and energy and a long commute and all of these things. And she was overcoming them one at a time. And one of the things that was really sticking with her was this emotional eating, this weekend overeating. And she said to me one day, she had this epiphany because we were talking about this ongoing struggle. And she said to me over Marco Polo one day, she's like, you know, I realized that I have a long commute. It was like 2 hours. It's like, I have a long commute to a job I hate. And then I have a long commute home to a family who doesn't appreciate me or the things I do. I have nothing to look forward in life except for the Oreos. And that's a big problem. And that's not something that is going to be fixed by, you know, putting the Oreos back in the cupboard and going for a walk. in the moment, it's going to be fixed because she won't eat those Oreos, but there's a much bigger problem there. And so being in tune with what the bigger issues are and working through those, whether that's with professional help or whether it's on your own, working through those and not just brushing them aside, which brings me to the second part of the question that the person who wrote in the DMs asked me about, which was the winter blues. This is something I would seek help with from a mental health professional. A lot of people manage this on their own, and there are many tools you can use. My son had seasonal affective disorder in middle school from January to March. We had him eat his breakfast with a light therapy lamp, and it helped. Getting in more movement, that can help. But please first talk to a mental health professional to see if there is more support you need before just saying things like, oh, I'm going to just exercise more or get more light in my eyes. Those are powerful, but you want to make sure there's something else you aren't missing first. So talk to a mental health professional about that. Know that you're not alone. Know that there are many things you can do to help with those winter blues. And then in conjunction with those things, using what we've talked about here today in terms of overcoming the comfort eating part while you're getting help with specifically those winter blues, all of that together can really be a game changer. Thank you all for being here today. I hope that you learned something. I hope that you will be able to practice this moving forward. Have a wonderful holiday if you are celebrating Thanksgiving this week. I hope you have a wonderful day with your friends and your families. I am very thankful for you. I do not take it lightly that you spend time with me each week, that you spend 15, 20, 30 minutes each week listening to this podcast. I greatly appreciate it, and I appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.